Hello, welcome to Outside In. My name's John Burns, and today I've brought along someone to talk about really about how our relationship with the outdoors is changing, and about new ways of exploring the outdoors in the UK, and particularly where I'm interested in Scotland. And I'm talking to Tony Stevenson, who's the UK sales agent for 10 Teepee Adventure Tents. And I brought him along specifically because I think that the interest in what's called hot tents, that's tents that will have a stove and enable you to camp out here in comfort in winter conditions, is increasing, partly at least from my own point of view, because obviously bothies are closed right now. So, you know, we're finding new ways of doing it. So I thought I'd talk to Tony about what's happening with 10 Teepee and the sort of range they provide. So hi Tony, how are you doing?
Oh, very good, thank you, John. And first of all, thanks for the invitation.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah. I think it's really interesting. Tell us about your tents. What makes 10 Teepee tents different from the kind of tents that most people would have experienced before?
Well, I'd quite quickly answer that by saying that this is an option for camping where a large roomy tent can be used with a heat source inside. Now, in Sweden, that heat source is sometimes even an open fire.
Yeah.
They can also be used with mess heaters. And we have a wood-burning stove, which has a really high heat output, making it possible to camp in real comfort in very, very low temperatures indeed. And that's really the summary.
I mean, Well, I mean, I heard about 10 Teepee tents for a while. I'd seen images of them, and I'd not really seen one in the flesh. And I saw one up in Gerlach. I was really impressed with it. So, you know, I've got what's called a Sapphire 7 10 Teepee tent with a wood burning stove, as you suggest, you know, and it is remarkable. When I first set it up, I was a bit concerned because can you really light a fire in a tent without burning it down? You know, because that's not something I've done in the past. But so with some trepidation, I left the stove. But what really impressed me about the tents was, you know, just how comfortable you are inside. Is that something that people talk to you about?
Well, it is, John. And I would perhaps add to that with this kind of conical shaped tent, it's possible to have a feeling of sociability, you know, with a group of people. You have the central focal point, which is obviously the stove, and the space and the, you know, just the sense of togetherness. I mean, that's something really which is missing from the, should we say, the smaller backpacking tents.
Well, that's true.
Of course, there are, you know, these are large tents. We'd never argue that they're intended for backpacking, but they give us a sense of togetherness and comfort, which is an experience I'd never really had in my backpacking days. I don't use the smaller tents these days. So I'm moving away from that serious backpacking market, and I prefer to look for something a bit more comfortable.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, you know, if you could turn up in a little nylon tent, there's maybe one or two of you in a backpacking tent who spend the weekend in fairly close proximity, but without a lot of room. But one thing it struck me with the 10 Teepee tent, even the one I've got, you could get four or five people in there pretty comfortably, sat round the fire. And one of the things I also felt about them is just how atmospheric they are, because what I've got, I've got myself, I bought off eBay an old Tilly lamp, which is, you know, a pressurized paraffin lamp. And I sort of renovated that. And once you get that going, it creates this sort of gentle light, and you're in this canvas world. And if Roald Amundsen or Scott himself walked through the door and shook the snow off, you wouldn't be that surprised.
No, excuse me. I don't think it would be, really. I mean, that feeling on entering these tents, it harks back really a long, long time. And what I might comment at this point is that these designs, there really aren't anything new, John. The basic design has been in use by nomadic peoples for literally thousands of years. And in Sweden, the early Sami settlers, nomadic persons, mm-hmm, they use this kind of design to survive in an extremely hostile environment.
Right.
They had a wooden frame over which was stretched a reindeer skin, and there was a fire inside the tent. Mm-hmm. And that environment, it really is bitterly cold during the winter months.
Yes.
And it can be extremely wet during the summer.
Right.
And they came up with a system which allowed them to not only survive, but to thrive. And this design has been brought bang up to date by Tentepe with modern materials and a couple of extra features.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the material, because I was very impressed with the material. The tent that I know you do provide in a tent, but basically I'm using the Sapphire 7 as a single skin tent. I haven't got an inner, and I was very dubious about that at first, because my experience of single skin tents has been pretty poor. They're normally lightweight, but you normally get a lot of condensation, and they can be pretty cold. But I have to say that it's a sort of breathable, very strong canvas. Mm. Is that right? And that seems to avoid any condensation problem at all. Is that what it's made of? Is it a very
well? It's actually a polyester cotton mix. It's
right. Okay.
It's a 50-50 mix of polyester and cotton.
Right.
Which is, if you think of this in terms of canvas weights, perhaps it's about an 8-ounce canvas equivalent, and the polycotton mix is impregnated with a compound which confers a high degree of waterproofness on the fabric, and it allows water vapor to pass through the fabric as well. So we have, in effect, a waterproof, breathable fabric.
Right.
And in extremely wet conditions, particularly in cold wet conditions, which is typical of a lot of our British climate, the use of a stove or a heat source simply drives moisture through the fabric.
And I suppose that's similar to the way a Gore-Tex jacket works in a way, isn't it?
It is in essence, although in the contrast is we don't use a membrane, and the waterproof, breathable nature of the fabric is derived from the weave combined with an impregnation process. It's extremely durable, John.
Yeah, it certainly looks it. I think you'd be pretty hard put to damage it from what I could see. But one of the things also about, well, what I would say is one of the things that I find, obviously, I'm used to going bothying, used to staying in the bothies of the Highlands. And the tent, obviously, the main disadvantage is you've got to carry it or shift it, get it there somehow. But as you say, it's not the most portable of things. It does have some advantages over a bothy, in that, in my experience, you know, you arrive in a bothy in midwinter, having carried your coal, a limited supply of coal, for as far as you have to, but then you can light the fire in the bothy, and it can be up to an hour, hour and a half, even 2 hours, depending on the bothy, to get it comfortable and warm, if you can get it comfortable and warm. Now, my experience, what really surprised me using the wood burning stove in the tent teepee was that in, I would say, about 5 minutes, it was comfortable and warm.
That's right.
It warms up really fast. And the other side of it is that I thought that the wood burning stove, I'm not that experienced at using it yet, but if you get up in a bothy in the morning, it's pretty cold, as it is in a tent. But you can't really relight a bothy fire unless you've got a massive amount of coal. And again, it'll take a long time to heat up. But again, with what I found first thing in the morning, if you happen to be cold, you can light the fire, the stove in the tent, teepee tent, and you'll be fine in a few minutes.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And if you're going out, you know, you could just leave the stove shut down and it'll slowly go out, which is a pretty good thing. To tell me about what are the things that I couldn't quite figure out at first, but it's obvious to me now, but I'm interested in your sort of take in it, is just how you've got a really red hot flue going through a canvas tent. and that worried me at first, I must admit. But actually now I'm quite happy with it. But tell me how that works. How is that possible?
Well, I think my first comment might be, John, you ought to back off on loading the stove slightly.
yes.
But yes, it is. It is quite possible to have the stove sides and part of the flue glowing cherry red.
Yes,
yet the exit point of the flue through the canvas is perfectly safe from any kind of fire damage. And we use an insulated cage.
Right.
Through which the hot flue passes, and it's fixed in the center of the insulated cage.
Right.
And this effectively stainless steel wire cage gives around 2 inches, 2.5 inches of clearance between the fabric of the tent and the hot flue. And that's more than sufficient to have a safe exit for the hot flue gases. So we have a system which does allow us to safely use a stove in one of these tents.
For what I looked at it, you've got what I describe this. It's essentially you've got your flue, your chimney going out the top of the tent, which is a tube, which basically, if you've not seen one of these tents, what it is the stove. How to describe it? It's sort of a cylindrical thing, about 3 feet long, roughly, and it's got a door in the far end that you put your wood in. The smoke and the gases exit through a chimney, and the chimney is like comes in sections. Like a chimney is what, about 8 feet long, maybe?
That's about right.
It comes in sections, and all these sections fit together and go into the stove when you're carrying it. But when they come out, you put them all together, and as you were saying, there's like it goes through a hole in the roof of the tent, and there's like a big wire tube, a mesh is the best way of describing it. That is about maybe 2 foot long and about what, maybe 8 or 9 inches in diameter. And this effectively, from what I can see, it conducts the heat away from the fabric and allows it to cool in the outside air, so that you don't get a hot metal in contact with the fabric of the tent. And above that, if I'm right in thinking, there's essentially what is a spark guard that stops sparks flying up and falling back down onto the tent. Is that more or less? I got it more or less right there.
You got your description is perhaps more comprehensive and visual than mine, but you have it absolutely right, John.
And what about these tents? The great enemy of all tents, of course, is wind. How do these tents sort of protect themselves? I should say, if you have not, obviously we'll put photographs of the tents on the page of this podcast. The tents are essentially conical. That's the best way of describing it.
Yes, that's right.
How do they function in high winds then?
Well, they certainly have a reputation for withstanding some extreme winds, and there are quite a few well documented stories of storms ripping through campsites, and the only tents remaining standing have been the tent teepee models.
Right.
And we've had. I mean, I could point towards one gentleman in particular, a chap called Alex Hibbard, who took one of these tents on an Arctic expedition, and the tent withstood an incredible battering very, very well.
Right.
You know, so, and if you think about the basic design of a cone, a buffeting wind arriving in the night is going to shed from a curved surface much, much better than it will from a flat wall. And should the wind direction change through the night, it's still faced with this same curved wall. So whatever angle the wind arrives at, it's met by a surface which deflects the wind, and the wind will pass around the surface. And if you think in terms of physics, the higher up the tent you go, the smaller the volume that the wind will have an impact on. So you have a very stable kind of a structure by virtue of this conical design, John.
That sounds to make a lot of sense. Yeah. Mm. I mean, one of the things that surprised me about the tent, and I mean, I've been putting tents up since, about well over 40 years. I think I must have erected just about every kind of tent there is.
In my
time. But my experience, certainly, you know, you're putting up what is a pretty big tent. And if you're doing that on your own, in a lot of tents, that can be pretty tricky. But what really surprised me was just how easy the tent was to put up on your own, because it's unusual from most tent techniques in that what you do is with the tent teepee, you hammer in fairly substantial pegs, which are actually at each, I think it's 8 corners of the tent, because it's octagonal.
That's right.
Essentially. And you have a little bit of string, and you have a bit of, you have a peg to go in the middle, and a template which shows you what angle to put these pegs in. So you put your pegs in first, then you come along with the tent, and you anchor, you attach the each corner of the tent, and then put the pole up in the middle. But the tent never really goes up without being connected to the ground.
That's right.
And I found that quite useful. What also I found useful was it could be tricky to take a big tent down because when it was fairly windy when I had to take it down.
Right.
The first time we used it anyway. And what happens with any big tent is as you take the pegs out, you destabilize it. It gets increasingly more vulnerable to the wind, and you're actually making it worse as you take it down. But what I did with the tent teepee, which is, you've got to remember, it's conical. And for once in my life, thank God, I read the instructions. So what I did was, all you do with the tent teepee, and you can take it down very easily on your own, I found, was that if you take the central pole out, there's a loop in the top of the tent that you can effectively put a tent peg through, and you stake it down into the wind. And then the wind actually, this is not going to take off on you at all. Because what I've found with big tents like that is you can find yourself, it's a bit like wrestling with a sail. You know, you're sort of battling this stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
And it can carry you away. But I did find, I must admit, I found it much easier and much quicker. So I took took the pole down, the whole tent collapses, you nail the top down, and then you just take out the pegs, and it's very easy.
I think that simplicity of design really does play into this, into the pitching and the dropping of the tent.
Definitely.
It's possible to pitch the tent simply with 8 pegs.
Yeah. I mean, I do find, to be honest, I do find that One of the I bought the tent, I should say, for most people who are used to backpacking tents, the tent TP tent doesn't come with a sewn-in ground sheet. I suspect there are reasons for that. But you buy a floor, which essentially the floor that I've got attaches with weed toggles, and you put the. It's very easy to insert it. But obviously, the only problems that I've had is that obviously the tent has a skirt around it, and you want to in winter you want to try and get that skirt secured so there's no wind getting through it, and that can be a bit fiddly. That's what I've found.
I'd agree. Yeah, but, I mean the use of that skirt is. It has several functions, really, John. I mean, the skirt can be pulled outwards, and snow can be piled onto the skirt to give a windproof seal.
Yeah.
Or in really wet conditions, I would pull the skirt inside the tent and peg it down, and on tensioning, it forms a tray, which is just what you need in that kind of. In a typical wet Scottish kind of camping area.
Yeah, I should imagine. I've used it in heavy rain and hail and snow. When I went to Gerlach, it was very kind. It gave me just about every condition you could possibly get in 2 days. You know, but which the Scottish Highlands are prone to do. But yeah, I did find that in heavy rain it was pretty much impervious. I mean, it's one of the things that was useful about it is I did notice you got a little condensation, but the condensation tended to be around the lower end of the tent, and obviously you've got vents that you can open up. The ventilation system has vents in the floor. Oh, not the floor, but the side of the tent, and you can open what is best described as a hat, I think, on top of this tent, which is operated by little pulleys inside. So it really is incredibly well designed. To be fair, it's not the cheapest tent in the world. In fact, it may be one of the most expensive. However, I think I paid about $2,500 for mine, but I felt in buying something like that I've got something that pretty well will last me a lifetime. And it enables me to do things that I otherwise won't be able to do. And one of the other things, I suppose, the other advantage over a bothy is, you know, you can only go to a bothy where there actually happens to be a bothy. You know, there's a limited number of sites, but at least with a tent like that, you can wild camp, you can go to different places, you've got a lot more flexibility in some ways with the tent teepee. And one of my reasons for getting it also is that, you know, we're an age of great uncertainty in it right now. We don't know where we're going to be. We've got COVID-19, we've got this pandemic going on. Bothies are at the moment closed, and I wouldn't like to say, you know, when it's going to be safe to go along to a bothy where you might meet different people. You don't know who was there before you. You don't know how clean they were. You don't know.
Yes, I'd agree.
And at least one of the major advantages of something like, you know, one of your 10 teepees is that's your space. There's only you there or whoever you choose to invite, and I guess in some ways I have no idea about the virus, but obviously you take a tent down and it moves, doesn't it? So whether it's you are by definition out in an open space, you know. So I certainly
You know, and going back to something you said earlier, John, you said that your tent was, you know, it'd be quite there'd be quite enough space for five persons, and if you think about five persons using this as their place to stay for a weekend or a week or whatever, when you start to split this weight between five people. It increases the options quite considerably. And I've been thinking more recently about whether it would be an option to to look at using an e-bike with a trailer.
Oh yeah,
With a few of us, and for those kind of forest tracks, Scotland, I see a lot of potential there, John, for getting away from things.
Absolutely, and absolutely.
Spending time. We have had some people who've lived in these tents long term.
Right.
You know, for a period of a year, even.
Wow.
And they've been, they've been happy doing that.
Good, good. Yeah. I mean, there are, although the tent, as you quite rightly said, this isn't a backpacking tent. Although you could, I think I looked on your catalogues, I think you provide a sort of rucksack frame. So you could carry it a limited distance from the road.
Yes, you could.
One of the things I've been thinking of doing is to get myself something like a little gardening cart, because they can carry a fair amount of weight on a reasonable Land Rover track. I wouldn't want to be hauling the thing over mountains, but a reasonable Land Rover track, you know, if you can get a couple of miles from the road, you're on your own, really. You don't need to be that far away. And obviously, for those of us who are into canoeing or anything like that, then...
Many people who are using these tents with Canadian canoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's enough space in the canoe to take everything you need,
yes,
including the stove.
Yes, yes. Oh, no problem. In a big Canadian Fantastic. Canoe, it would be no problem at all. In fact, it would give you quite a lot of stability, the weight. So, because the tent that I've got, I think it is 15 or 16 kilograms, something like that. Now, you can carry that, not with much else. The stove weighs about 20 kilograms. So that's, you know, we're talking about a fair amount of weight here, but it wouldn't be impossible to move that. And my feeling is, you know, everything, I suppose, every piece of kit you ever use to some degree is a compromise. You know, you've got a lightweight tent, but in a lightweight tent in Scotland in the winter, if you're backpacking a lightweight tent, you know, the major problem is obviously it's dark from about 5 o'clock on. So you're stuck in this tent. And you might be able to sit there and read in your sleeping bag or I don't know, listen to the radio or something, but it's pretty limited. I would say that I regard the tent, teepee tent, almost as a sort of canvas camper van. You've got all the space, you can move around in it, and I really like that aspect of it. So for some people, I really do think it offers an alternative. And I think it's something that it to me, it's a completely different way of camping from the lightweight camping that I've known before. And, you know, I can't go to as remote places with it, but at least I can sit, you know, I can spend an evening with the stove on and my tilly lamp going, sitting, reading, maybe having the occasional dram in perfect company, in comfort. And that's what I'm looking for.
Yes. And we sell most of these tents to a slightly older age profile.
I'm sure you do.
And that fits in exactly with what you were saying, that personally I suffer a bit with the cold these days, as I do, and I really do need something a bit more comfortable. And these tents have increased my camping lifespan considerably.
They are a way of getting out into the outdoors in weather that is pretty inhospitable.
Absolutely.
I will vouch for the fact that you can be warm, completely warm and comfortable in these tents, no problem at all. So I got my Saphir 7 from Nordic Outdoor in Edinburgh. Outdoor, they have, if you're in Scotland and you want to see one of these tents, Nordic Outdoor have a sort of permanent display where you can actually, you know, you really need to see a tent like this put up. Because I think that's an important aspect of it. And what I'll do is we'll put some links on the website to that and some images in the tent, and I've already done, for those of you who want to watch it, I've reviewed the Saphir 7 on my blog, and I've also done a YouTube review, so you can see a wee video of me sitting in my little tent in the middle of which unfortunately right now I'm not allowed to do, but it's something that hopefully once these restrictions have gone, I'll be doing again. Anyway, that was really great talking to you, Tony, and
you too, John.
Thanks very much for all the information you gave us.
I'm pleased to be of help.
I'll put a link to your website. I'm sure if anyone's got any questions about these tents, you'd be happy to answer them or give them.
Absolutely, John. I'd be more than pleased to help people out.
That's great. Well, I think this is a completely new way of us engaging with the outdoors. Although I suppose actually it's simply the return of a very old way.
it is in many ways, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enjoyed the interview, John. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Tony. Nice speaking to you. All the best with your tents. Okay. Thanks very much then. Bye-bye.
Cheers now. Bye.